today on Vox Talks Economics, the battle to create standards for sustainability reporting. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics, coming to you from the first Hoffman Center CEPR Recipe Conference at the Geneva Graduate Institute. My name is Tim Phillips. At COP26 in Glasgow, the IFRS Foundation announced the creation of the International Sustainability Standards Board, or ISSB. Its mission: to create a global baseline for sustainability-related financial disclosure. The idea is to integrate sustainability reporting into IFRS accounting and not treat it as a separate ESG framework. But should firms be required to report their climate impact? And if they do, who ensures that these reports are transparent and credible? Lucrezia Reichlin of the London Business School and CEPR spoke about this at the conference. And so when we met, we discussed the progress towards sustainability standards, what's in scope, who supports them, and who is pushing back. Lucrezia, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Why do we need corporate reporting at all?
Well, it is generally a knowledge in accounting, in finance, and in economics that corporate information matters to investors. And this is because pricing the relevant corporate information is central to capital allocation of financial market, to the function of capital allocation in financial market. But this observation does not imply that we need the standards, and in particular, mandatory standards. And the case for that is based on three further ideas. First of all, that there are information externalities. So a firm has an incentive to disclose if this improves its own valuation or its own cost of capital, but not the valuation of other firms. So that means that there is underreporting unless you enforce standards. Mm-hmm. So you cannot just rely on voluntary corporate disclosure. You need a mechanism to enforce the disclosures and to standardize disclosure. And then the second thing is that you need standards because the standardization helps valuation. Standardization helps the comparability of reported information across firms. And this, in turn, lowers the information processing cost of investors. So that's this lowering the cost is a very strong motivation. And the third observation is that standards improve the quality of information beyond what the firm would disclose voluntarily.
If you speak to many firms, they complain about the amount of reporting they have to do. They consider it to be a cost to them. Are we saying that the benefit to them outweighs the cost? Is there evidence for that?
There is very little research on cost, but we know that there are costs and that the costs are related to size of companies. So there are economies of scales. And this is a big problem. And this is actually the motivation of why, for example, the EU is revising the original directive on corporate reporting. Firms have different incentives for reporting, different costs for reporting. There is some evidence, for example, that there is a question of proprietary information, and so that excessive reporting can actually have a negative effect on innovation, but we have very little knowledge of what is quantifying this effect. I mean, for standard setters, this is definitely something to keep in mind also, that because companies are different, are heterogeneous, and so even with the same standards, we will not have the same level of information and the same convergence of reporting.
Now, the big step forward in standardizing corporate reporting was IFRS, the international standard for this. It was controversial when it was brought in. Has it been effective in standardizing corporate reporting?
The IFRS has been an amazing project, which was very important in standardization of financial corporate reporting, as you said. And there have been several studies looking at the adoption of the IFRS, studying the effect on capital market. I think we can extract five takeaways. The first takeaway is that indeed better corporate disclosure and reporting increases market liquidity. Okay, so market liquidity is the most robust effect that is found on the capital market effect. But the second important takeaways of these studies is that there are very strong complementarities and interactions between reporting systems and various institutional factors. So this implies that disclosure rules and reporting standards should not be considered in isolation. The effect really depends on the supporting institutions. Okay, so in a bad institutional environment, you can have the best standards in the world, but this is not going to make any difference. And the third is that enforcement is key. So adoption is not enough. You need some enforcement mechanism in order to find, significant capital market effects. And the fourth takeaway is that there is large cross-sectional heterogeneity in the outcomes, in the effect of standards, even within the same countries. And this goes back to the observation I made before that companies have different incentives to report even with the same standards, okay? So because there are costs and because of the costs and the incentives differ across firms. And so there is some evidence indeed, and this is the fifth takeaway, that there are effects and proprietary costs, and so that one have to be mindful of it. The big implication is that reporting should not become a distraction or a red herring. Reporting should be seen as a complement to other policy rather than a substitute to other policy. And this is very important when you think about sustainability and sustainability reporting, because a lot of action has been taking place in sustainability reporting, especially related to disclosure about climate risk and opportunities for corporates. And a lot is happening, but we should not think that reporting standards are a substitute for other regulatory measures and policies that we have to put in place.
If there is an appetite among investors for climate reporting so that they can direct their investments, how can asset managers respond? Frédéric Samama has pioneered the development of instruments that make this practical. Subscribe to Vox Talks wherever you get your podcasts to listen to our interview with him from February 2024 in the episode Climate Finance Instruments.
So Lucrezia, if corporate reporting has been controversial, well, sustainability reporting most certainly is at the moment. In what context is sustainability reporting mandatory now, and where is it voluntary?
A lot has happened in sustainability corporate reporting in the last 15, 20 years. There has been a mushrooming of sustainability-related voluntary standards. This has come from the bottom up. A lot of initiatives from NGOs and other organizations, SASB, TCFD, different organizations that started preparing standards because there was a big demand from investors. Then the SSB was established, the International Sustainability Standard Board, under the umbrella of the IFRS. And this was the result of the effect of this bottom-up pressure, but also the understanding at the top-up, so of the financial regulatory institution, the IFRB and the IOSCO, that some consolidation was needed. So that we had to move in climate-related sustainability standard in the same direction as for financial corporate reporting years before. So the ISSB was established with the support of the IOSCO and the Financial Stability Board. And also this led to a kind of aggregation of all these different institutions, of all these different initiatives under the umbrella of the IFRS, under the idea that standards for climate-related risk and in the future other sustainability issues like, for example, labor standards or biodiversity, these are actual risks for corporates, and so the investor need information. And the concept here was really investor focus, okay? So that you need to report what is financially material. So exactly, this is the same concept that is used for financial reporting. Information immaterial, that's the definition, if omitting, misstating it or obscuring it, could reasonably be expected to influence investor decisions. So to the extent that this new risk, climate, biodiversity, and so on, are material in the way in which I've defined it, then you need to have disclosure, and then the SSB established the standards. And the idea was that this concept established a global baseline so that all countries should, in principle, adopt and enforce these standards. And then that the jurisdictions which are more ambitious, like the European Union, could on top establish criteria for the other side of materiality so that you should disclose what matters for the environment, okay? Not just for the investor, but also for the stakeholders more in general. So this is called double materiality in accounting. And so the idea was really a global baseline enforced by a global institution, the IFRS, and then with interoperability for the more ambitious jurisdictions. There was a lot of enthusiasm on this concept and on this idea, but now recently the world is going in the opposite direction.
Yes.
First of all, we have a very strong opposition from the security regulators in the US to sustainability standards, to the extent to which that the SEC has said that if the IFRS continues to push for sustainability standards, then the US will go back in the commitment of convergence between their GAAP standards in financial reporting and IFRS.
Gosh, right, because their corporate reporting has never
really been the same, but there was a commitment to convergence, and also IFRS standards for companies that invest in the US are accepted. You know, there is an equivalence agreement, okay, between GAAP and IFRS.
Yes, yeah, with American corporate reports, very often you see their GAAP reporting and then you see an IFRS
reporting
as well.
Yeah. And in fact, the US is in the structure and the governance of the IFRS. So in the monitoring board of the IFRS, the US is represented, so that the US until recently was very much part of this general idea of convergence on financial reporting. But now, on sustainability standards, they really don't like it. In Europe, actually, they're revising their corporate directive now under Omnibus. And there is a consultation ongoing, so maybe it's too early to say. But it looks like there is, in particular, one aspect of the Omnibus, the proposed reform in the EU, that worries me, which is they propose to make disclosure on financial material information voluntary. And this disclosure on financial and material information is really the global baseline, as I described before, so that if you give up on that, you give up in this whole concept of how you could accommodate a convergence in reporting with different ambitions at the level of the countries.
What is the reason why they want to make that voluntary?
I don't understand it, and I think we'll see where this will end up. But at the same time, there have been 36 countries which have adopted the ISSB standards. Interesting, most of these countries are emerging economies, which tells us that for emerging economies to have standards, SSB standards, is very important because this lowers the cost for investors to acquire information. So this is good to attract investors in these countries, more important for emerging markets than for developed economies. So now we have this paradox that a lot of the SSB adopters are countries in Africa, countries in Asia, but not the US and not Europe.
The fact that that also lowers the cost of capital, does that show that investors really value these sustainability reporting standards?
Absolutely. But at the same time, as I said before, what comes out from research is that the standards are not enough, that we need an ecosystem and infrastructure that works. We need enforcement mechanisms, we need a legal framework to go from adoption to implementation. This is where it worries me, the fragmentation, because, you know, we'd also need a global understanding of what is the kind of regulatory environment you need. with these kind of lamentations, possibly the only way to go is to establish some coalitions of countries which are adopters of the SSB, but also are committed to regulatory best practice. Through these coalitions, then you could also have collaborations between developed countries and emerging markets for improving the regulatory environment. So you could think of the ideas of clubs, and these clubs will also be attractive, I imagine, for investors in a situation in which fragmentation is everywhere, but also in reporting and in regulations.
Now, to establish those coalitions or those clubs, we need them to believe that this is valuable and important. From what we know about sustainability reporting, does it have real-world effects? Does it change the behavior of the firms that report sustainably?
There are many studies, especially on voluntary reporting on carbon emissions. So this is very limited. So it's not about the effect of standards, but it's voluntary reporting carbon emissions. There are several papers. It looks like there is an effect on emissions, which is like the other aspect of materiality. There are problem with these studies, okay, because who are the companies who voluntarily disclose? They are probably the best companies which have an incentive to disclose. So there is a selection bias problem. If you take these studies at face value, yes, there are effects, but you have to be mindful of these problems. And then since we know a lot about financial reporting, maybe you can base conjectures on what mandatory reporting will do in sustainability based on those studies. Reporting is important, but you need also the regulatory infrastructure. For climate-related or sustainability reporting, the financial materiality and the second aspect of materiality, what matters for the environment, the two things are linked by transition risk. Okay, companies report because there are policy in place, for example, on decarbonization and so on, and so that will create problems for the companies. But this environment is changing because there is huge backlash on decarbonization policies.
To make those coalitions, then there would have to be widespread agreement that we are reporting the right things and they are being counted appropriately. Is there that consensus?
A very good news is, for example, that there has been a review of the GHG, the gas emission greenhouse protocol. So this is a methodology which shows how to calculate emissions. So the ICSB provided a disclosure framework, what companies must report and how. But the GHG protocol establishes the methodology for scope 1, scope 2, scope 3 emissions. Mm-hmm. So together, these two things create consistency. And so, in fact, there is a memorandum of understanding between the two organizations. So it's very important not only to have standards, but also to have a consistent methodology to measure what has to be measured. For example, emissions is one of these things. Over the years, we have seen a proliferation of different frameworks, but now there seems to be a convergence. So in June 2024, there has been this memorandum of understandings between the HG protocol and the FRS Foundation, and there has been a review now of the protocol. So that makes me quite optimistic about the fact that on gas emissions, there will be a consistent way of measuring it. Of course, when you go to biodiversity, another aspect of sustainability does become much more complicated.
If we're thinking about these standards within Europe, the Draghi report, I believe, was quite critical of some of the reporting burden that is placed on firms. Does he have a point? Is that a setback for activities within Europe to encourage sustainability reporting?
Yes. When we established the ISSB, we engaged in discussion with Europe. Europe had started earlier with sustainability standards. We had a discussion on the principles of reporting. And it is true that Europe has been very much focused on taxonomy, not sufficiently focusing on investor needs.
Okay? Right, yeah.
This has always been our criticism with respect to the EU approach. I think eventually, unfortunately, you were right, because now we have seen a big backlash. And so I think that the fact that they are reviewing the standards is good news, but I would have hoped that in reviewing the standards, they would have aimed at a better consistency with the global standards, which are established by the SSB, also because the capital market is global, and also because to the extent in which the EU embrace this idea of the global baseline, they can also exercise a leadership in pushing these ideas of sustainability reporting, especially now that the US is checking out. But by doing something totally different, if this were confirmed, now we don't know yet, this would be not only bad for the world, but also bad for Europe, because that would mean that they have given up on having a leadership on this. And interestingly, China is much closer now to the adoption of the SSB concept than Europe is.
Lucrezia, to sum this up, what is the risk that we run here if we are unable to form these coalitions of the willing on sustainability reporting? What is the effect on the real economy?
When risk is not priced, we know that things go wrong. Okay.
Lucrezia, thank you very much.
Thanks.
For more on this, see the IFRS Foundation concept paper published in June 2025 by Patrick Bolton, Ma Jun, Christian Leus, Luis Awazu Pereira da Silva, and Lucrezia Reichlin. And the ISSB standards, IFRS S1 and S2, that deal with sustainability reporting, available at ifrs.org/ISSB.
Vox Talks Economics is a Talk Normal production. The assistant producer is Megan Bieber, and our editor is Andrei Zagarian. Next week on Vox Talks Economics, putting a value on biodiversity.